From WNYC New York Public Radio, I'm Leonard Lopate. This is just one segment of the Leonard Lopate Show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by DataPipe Managed IT Services, delivering a comprehensive suite of managed services, including implementing, securing, and scaling applications designed for mid-market and Fortune 1000 enterprises. DataPipe.com.
Dilip Hero was just discussing the possibility of serious global oil shortages in the near future. So we thought it might be a good time to talk to somebody who's working on an innovative way to solve some of the environmental problems we're facing. His solution is vertical farms. Dr. Dixon Despommiers, a professor at Columbia's Environmental Health Science Department, thinks that building them in urban areas could solve a lot of problems as more and more of the Earth's people move into cities. Dr. Despommiers, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Is this a completely new idea? Has anybody ever tried anything like this?
Well, I think the Hanging Gardens of Babylon might have been a first attempt at that, but I think not indoors, at least. I don't think anyone's tried to grow food in tall buildings indoors.
So it's just a concept at this point?
I believe that's right.
What about models? Have any models been built?
Plenty of them. In fact, we're working on some ourselves, and we're very proud of the fact that this project has actually grown into a worldwide problem to be solved by universities and government agencies, et cetera. We're getting a lot of looks on our website.
So when you tell people what you're working on, they don't think you're crazy?
Well, they have to hear why I'm working on it first. And if I can explain that in a brief sentence or two, the thing that actually got me started with this is the fact that I'm a parasitologist by trade, and I teach to our medical students at the school. And so by realizing how parasites spread from person to person, particularly the ones that are called geohelminths, a lot of them are spread as the result of using human feces as fertilizer. And this occurs quite frequently throughout Southeast Asia, South Asia, China, et cetera. One way to interrupt that cycle, of course, is to use the feces for something else. So how else could you use that if they have to use that to fertilize their fields? And so we tried to conceive of a way in which they could use it, making plants that you don't eat. Then you harvest those plants, harvest the energy from them, and use that energy to run these tall farms.
So you're putting an intermediary
process.
And how would that work in the case of these farms? That would be what, buildings in the middle? Take an already existing building, or we would build special buildings on empty lots?
Well, we started out with a class project, even looking just at the rooftops. And I know rooftop gardening has become a very popular subject lately. And so we looked at that first as a possibility for acting globally but thinking locally. We tried to see if New York City could actually provide enough calories for itself just by making use of what's available. And of course, it turned out very rapidly that New York City is not equipped to do this. So
most roofs wouldn't handle it. You have to put a lot of money into
right.
reinforcing a roof to handle all the soil that would be necessary.
Quite correct. But a lot of it is soilless agriculture also, hydroponics, aeroponics. There's a lot of advances in this area, but they just haven't been applied to multi-story buildings. So
Eli Zabar has done something.
Yes, indeed. And then there's a lot of interest. That's why when you asked me if people thought we were crazy for thinking of this, the fact is that people are already thinking of it.
So this would be like a stacked-up hothouse?
Somewhat. I think it requires a whole bunch of new engineering and some creative architecture, but I think all the pieces to creating a vertical farm exist. And all we have to do is put them together, sort of like Lego. You're given a box of Lego, and you can build anything you want to with it.
Now, why even do this? We have local farms that are producing wonderful food.
Yes.
We do encourage people to buy locally.
This is true.
But why isn't that a reasonable answer? You have cities, and then you have outlying areas and farms somewhere along the way.
Exactly. Well, it's actually predicated on a paper that was produced for Science Magazine by request. There were eight authors that were given four pages of Science Magazine to fill it up with what they thought would happen over the next 50 years with regards to agriculture. And what they concluded after very careful studies was that the next 3 billion people, which there will be apparently, will need the size of Brazil in addition to what exists now in order to produce food for them if we are to continue to farm traditionally. And this just can't be done. So some alternative form of agriculture has to be invented.
And would you just imagine produce being grown here, or would we also be thinking in terms of livestock and dairy sure. production?
Well, I'd stop just short of livestock, but certainly I would continue the thought pattern to alternative other things besides food. And one of the most remarkable discoveries in recent years, as far as I can see, is the conversion of table sugar directly into gasoline. So your guest that was just on was addressing the oil issues and what's going to happen there. We could, if we had the desire to do so, I think, and the political will and the social pressure, we could actually create gasoline, pollution-free gasoline, by the way, from common table sugar that we can grow.
My guest is Dr. Dixon Despommier. He is a professor at Columbia's Environmental Health Science Department, and we're talking about the proposed vertical farming approach, which I guess would be a lot easier to do in Omaha. Forgive me if anybody out there is going to take offense, but property values are a lot lower in Omaha than they are in Manhattan. Maybe even better to do this in areas of New York City that aren't in the center, midtown. Yes. You're not imagining a midtown Manhattan vertical farm, are you?
Well, if you can imagine a fully-fledged athletic stadium in the middle of Manhattan, I guess you can imagine some food-generating building, too. But actually, we were thinking more or less of the unused properties of New York City. For instance, Governor's Island, Floyd Bennett Air Force Base, a lot of abandoned properties in the central part of Upper Manhattan seem to suggest themselves very strongly for a first attempt at this.
Could they be grown year-round, the way greenhouses grow food year-round?
That's one of the big advantages of this technology that already exists, I should say. There's no weather-related crop failures. There's no limit to how much food you can actually grow inside except for the square acreage that you want to set aside for this. You can get continuous crop productions.
Are there problems? Otherwise, I'd assume there would have been somebody who would have tried it by now.
Well, to be honest with you, I think there are people trying it. And what it requires, though, is to force an urban landscape to behave like a natural landscape. And that means to recycle the energy fully, to be truly sustainable. And I think that term has been kicked around a lot without actually realizing what it means. If you look at the way ecological process occurs outside, the sun shines, it grows plants, animals eat the plants, and the animals and plants die, and the detritivores, the microbes, consume them, returning all those nutrients to the soil, and then it's recycled again. Cities, on the other hand, take all the products from nature, process them as far as we can. We discard those parts that we don't use back into the environment. So we're essentially an open system where we're actually causing problems rather than solving them.
A listener emailed us to ask if anyone is working on coupling vertical farming with carbon dioxide capture and reuse.
No, but it's a wonderful marriage of two technologies that could easily be put together, because obviously plants take CO2 and create what we eat out of them. And in fact, we have designs for complete recycling of human waste. It starts with black water and ends up with drinking water. And we allow the plants to do that through a process called transevaporation.
But waste would be an issue here, wouldn't it? Water waste. It's an issue in real farms.
This is all true. And in fact, I can address that very simply by telling your listening audience that worldwide, 90% of the liquid water that's on this planet is used for agriculture, and it's spoiled by using it because it then assumes pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizers, which are required for growing food. It's then discarded into the environment, and that's created some of our environmental problems to deal with. The vision that we have for a vertical farm eliminates the need for pesticides and herbicides and fertilizers and uses only those nutritional solutions which that particular species of plant needs, so that at the end of the growth of the plant, everything is used up.
So you would have to plan this thing according to what each plant's requirements are. Some would be on the higher floors, some would be on the lower floors, and I'm assuming there'd be elevators taking people from place to place. So would that not be ecologically beneficial?
No, I think we can behave like a tall building and still remain within the realm of ecological process as long as no waste exits from the building. We have to find a use for all of that.
Can they be profitable? Would they succeed if they weren't, or would we be more interested in the other benefits in doing something like that?
Well, that's interesting that you should ask, because one of our projects, we've had this now ongoing in our class called Medical Ecology now for the last 8 years, and 2 years ago we assigned the economics to our class because we had some people with that kind of background that came into it. And they suggested very strongly that if you only used vertical farms to purify water and sell it as bottled water, you could turn a very nice profit doing that.
We could just sell the bottled water the way Coca-Cola does the Atlanta.
Precisely.
Water that they just take from the Atlanta water supply.
This is exactly right.
How much would it cost to build a vertical farm here, do you think?
Well,
you said you spoke, you had all these economists in your classes.
That's right.
That they thought about that.
No, we've all thought about that. And in fact, I guess I could turn that question around and ask you how much you think the first telephone might have cost, or the first computer, or the first airplane. I think the first of anything is going to be excessively expensive and not practical at all. But if we're willing to invest what the gentleman just before referred to as billions of dollars, it seems that there are lots of billions of dollars floating around out there with, I estimate, somewhere between $15 and $20 billion invested over the next 5 years, you could have functional vertical farms.
So do you envision them as being publicly run, at least initially, or privately funded by idealistic people?
I think all models are up for grabs at this point, and it depends on the society that you live in as to how this will evolve.
Mm-hmm. Well, would it be a good idea to put it next to something that it also could interact with? I'm thinking perhaps a vertical farm might be a good neighbor to an electric generating plant.
Or a restaurant complex, or apartment complex, or a school, or a demonstration project as to how ecology actually works.
Well, Blue Hill is a farm up in Westchester in the middle of an area where most of the people live in houses, and suddenly you have this farm, which is producing all the food for not only the restaurant it's connected to, but also selling the food to people in the neighboring area and making a profit on it.
Quite right. In fact, piggybacking one industry with another is actually a subject that we teach at our business school called industrial ecology. And indeed, the waste product from one industry, if you could get to it, another industry could use that as their starting product. So I see our waste treatment plants as the starting material for our vertical farms. And by using plants as living machines, which they're already being used for, we could remediate raw sewage into drinking water and food.
One of the things we discuss a lot here is the plight of people in refugee camps.
Oh, yes.
Could we do some? Obviously, we wouldn't do it with the first one because it's so expensive, but
exactly.
I could see a situation where a refugee camp had its own vertical farm.
That's a superb use for this technology once it's developed. And you take a place like Darfur. In 3 weeks' time, you could be reprocessing human waste into food, which would be totally safe to eat, and water, which would be totally safe to drink.
Because the first thought I had with vertical farms was New York City, and what effect is it going to have on the green market?
That's right.
But really, this would have perhaps even more practical applications elsewhere.
I quite agree. And if you take a very wealthy place like Dubai, that has no soil, therefore no agriculture, virtually everything they eat has to be brought in. A vertical farm in that setting would be quite spectacular, and I'm sure they could afford to actually build one if they really wanted to.
I'm sure you've been speaking to people about trying to build one.
Mm-hmm.
Is Bill Gates interested in this sort of thing?
Well, I don't know him personally, so I can't actually say if he is or not, but I know
The Sultan of Dubai, for that
matter. Well, I don't know him either, unfortunately, but I wish I could get an entree into their inner chambers, because I think once you see the virtue of this, the research and development that's necessary to bring it to fruition is not that heroic compared to, let's say, the space program or to develop the internal combustion engine. Vertical farming will free the world from natural disasters and food crises wherever you live, and this includes invasion of your farms by locusts if you live in Niger, or floods if you live in, for instance, I was born in Louisiana, and we've certainly suffered down there greatly over the last year. That disaster just couldn't wipe out a vertical farm if you build them correctly.
Has anyone spoken to people in the agriculture department?
Well, our website, verticalfarm.com, gets a lot of hits from EPA, from USDA, from other governmental agencies around the world. So we're quite proud of the fact that we've grown this idea into something that has been universally looked at least. And whether they're laughing or crying or actually getting involved, I can't answer that right away. But I know that many, many colleges have adopted this as a class project.
Well, give us that website address again. And before you do, we also have some drawings of a model vertical farm on our show page at WNYC.org.
Right.
But where would people go to see your website?
The address is quite simple. It's www.verticalfarm.com.
And we have a link to that as well on our page, on our show page at WNYC.org. My great thanks to you for coming by today. I've been talking with Dr. Dixon Despommiers, who is a professor at Columbia's Environmental Health Science Department. And we've been talking about the possibility that sometime in the near future we'll be getting our food from the skyscraper nearby.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Leonard Lopate Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.